Right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, August 5th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We made it halfway. This has been a rough week, and it's going to get rougher for me. Hope it's a little bit better for you. It is 65 degrees and cloudy here in upstate New York. It's a pleasant day, not too bad. It rained all day yesterday, so everything is just kind of green and happy here. So where do we leave off yesterday? We talked about robots, robots, and more robots. I titled the show yesterday, Exponential Replacement of Humans with Technology, and we looked at all kinds of stories in regards to robots, and not just robots, but we're talking automation in general, taking over just about every aspect of our lives here in the next 5 to 10 years, and where that's going to leave the human race. They say it's going to take the majority of the jobs. I've seen all kinds of different numbers, anywhere from 50 to 80% by like 2020. They have a full factory now running in China, 90% robotics with just a few managers managing the whole thing. And my biggest question is, where is that going to leave us unemployed, uneducated, because we know how paltry the educational system has become in regards to critical thinking or teaching our kids the skills to survive in the world. I mean, they teach them things and teach them ways to do things with Common Core that's just like half-baked mentally. We also learn that now, with the use of our electronic devices, the human attention span has become 8 seconds or less, which is less than a goldfish. So where does that leave the future of human 1.0? Well, don't worry about it, because we have the transhumanists out there pushing an agenda on how man should merge with machine. We heard Kurzweil 2 days ago talking about how we could augment our brains and expand different areas and put ourselves into different bodies, and all of that future brain power is going to be used to create new things, like the last time it happened and we did art and literature. Well, I don't think that that's the way our future is going to quite turn out. We've seen with Big Pharma, and we've done quite a number of shows on this, as well as the coming of precision medicine and genomics and all the different crazy mad science that they're working on right now, that even today as human 1.0, we have all become the R&D line item budget for these large multi-billion dollar multinational corporations. We also discovered that, digging back into the history of the U.S. biowarfare, that once Nixon inked his agreement to stop the biowarfare program, the one part that we weren't going to stop was to be proactive and develop vaccines. So this whole vaccine agenda is tied all the way back to the Department of Defense. These corporations that are creating a lot of these vaccinations are being funded by the Department of Defense, DARPA, and other federal agencies. Something that I found very interesting is we're having now these mandatory vaccination laws being passed across the board. We saw in California they passed the bill. New York is running right behind California. But there's also the Vaccinate All Children Act that's on the table for the federal government to push that nationwide. A couple of the things I wanted to look at here is the CDC. You know, we also saw with the Ebola, and I haven't really seen much of an update. There was someone who left me a message that I really want to get back to now that I'm back in the saddle about that whole, was it Ebola? Anthrax that was spread all over the country, all over the world, to all kinds of institutions. We didn't know all these years that by irradiating it, we didn't kill all the spores. But don't worry about it, because Ebola was one of the big things, Anthrax is one of the big things that we were worried about to be used as a bioterror agent, and now it is spread everywhere. Don't worry about that. And it wasn't just the DOD that did it the year before. The CDC had done the exact same thing and had a whole internal investigation. And nobody prevented the DOD from doing the exact same thing. So makes you feel great. You also find out that many of the FDA studies are fraudulent. Many of the studies that have been published in scientific journals that maybe at a later point were found to be fraudulent or have issues were never redacted by the FDA. That same FDA that's fast-tracking vaccinations and drugs through the review process to make certain that if there's an emergency, we can keep you and your family safe. Well, you know, I saw a video clip the other day and a bunch of you had posted it. I watched it a few times now and I'm just in awe. If you guys remember a few years back when we had the quote unquote swine flu outbreak that happened, and it wasn't the first time, this is the second time. We had the first one back in the 70s, I believe. And nobody wanted to get the vaccine. And so they declared a state of emergency. And when they declared that state of emergency, that opened the doors to allowing, because Obama said that we didn't have enough vaccine. It wasn't that people weren't lining up. We just didn't have enough. And that opened the doors to the other vaccines for swine flu that were circulating in Europe that had something called squalene in them that was not approved here in the United States. So we opened the floodgates. We allowed it in. It was fast-tracked. And they got to inject that stuff into all of the willing sheep that wanted to be another experiment. But here's what people tended to forget, that when that swine flu vaccine came out in the 70s, there were some major, major problems with that vaccination that caused all kinds of neurological disorders. I wanted to see here, I thought I had something up that actually talked about the neurological disorders. But I don't know. Again, I'm having major computer problems this morning. It's been 40 minutes of just getting some stories up that we can read. But anyway, let's take a look at this. It is 1970s. 1976 propaganda piece that had come out, and it looks like 60 Minutes did an expose trying to expose some of the lies that came out of the CDC, that even though they knew that the swine flu vaccine caused neurological disorders, they didn't say anything about it, and they let people keep getting the vaccine. So hold on, let's see if we can get this to work.
What would be your feeling?
They should have told us.
Did anyone ever come to you and say, you know something, fellas? There's the possibility of neurological damage if you get into a mass immunization program.
No.
No one ever did?
No.
Do you know Michael Hapwick?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Michael Hapwick directed the surveillance team for the swine flu program at the CDC. His job was to find out what possible complications could arise from taking the shot and to report his findings to those in charge.
Did you know ahead of time, Dr. Hapwick, that there had been case reports of neurological disorders, neurological illness, apparently associated with the injection of influenza vaccine?
Absolutely.
You did?
Yes.
How'd you know that?
By review of the literature.
So you told your superiors, the man in charge of the swine flu immunization program, about the possibility of neurological disorders?
Absolutely.
What would you say if I told you that your superiors say that you never told them about the possibility of neurological complications?
That's nonsense. I can't believe that they would say that they did not know that there were neurological illnesses associated with influenza vaccination.
Ding, ding. I can't believe that they would not say, but of course they would not say. This is what gets me, is like these pro-vaccine people that are just believing all this bullshit that's put out in the media, that, you know, we can't trust anything that's put out not only in the media, but we can't trust anything that's put out in these journals. And people so easily forget back to 1976, it came out that the government absolutely lied to you. They had to pay out millions at that time, back in the 70s, it was a lot of money in settlements for people who were permanently and forever injured by this vaccine because of their lack of warning to the people.
simply is not true. We did know that.
I said that Dr. Hatwick had never told me of his feelings on this subject.
That he's lying.
I guess you would have to make that assumption.
And why does this report from your own agency, dated July 1976, list neurological complications as a possibility?
I think the consensus of the scientific community was that the evidence relating neurologic disorders to influenza immunization was such that they did not feel that this association was a real one.
You didn't feel it was necessary to tell Lincoln people that information?
I think that over the years we have tried to inform the American people as fully as possible.
As part of informing Americans about the swine flu threat, Dr. Censor's CDC also helped create the advertising to get the public to take the shot.
Propaganda. This is just unbelievable. History always repeats itself, and the people who don't pay attention to what happened before are the ones that are falling for the lies that now they're spinning up, that we're the tinfoil hat wearers. Why would the government ever do anything like that to us, though we've seen hundreds of experiments that are documented where they've experimented on people all along? And remember, when we are useless eaters, which we are becoming very quickly, this is going to happen more and more as they get rid of labeling on all of our foods, so we don't need to know what's in it, if there's GMOs, if there's mad science gone mad, if there's nanotechnology, if it came from some unclean suspect country like Chinese chicken. You don't need to know about that because it's all about the money.
Let me read to you from one of your own agency's memos planning the campaign to urge Americans to take the shot. The swine flu vaccine has been taken by many important persons, he wrote. Example, President Ford, Henry Kissinger, Elton John, Muhammad Ali, Mary Tyler Moore, Rudolf Nureyev, Walter Cronkite, Ralph Nader, Edward Kennedy, etc., etc.
And of course, if you throw celebrities' names out there, the American public will just jump right on board like little 13-year-old fans, because that's the way we are. Hey, if it's okay for Muhammad Ali, it's okay for me.
True. I'm not familiar with that particular piece of paper, but I do know that at least of that group, President Ford did take the vaccination.
Did you talk to these people beforehand to find out if they planned to take the shot?
I did not know.
Did anybody?
Now, wasn't President Ford the one who used to trip and fall every time he walked? I think he was. I remember Chevy Chase making jokes about that all the time. Hey, who knows? Maybe it's the swine flu vaccine.
Buddy,
I do not know.
Did you get permission to use their names in your campaign?
I do not know.
Mary, did you take a swine flu shot?
No, I did not.
Did you give them...
By the way, this is Mary Tyler Moore.
...and permission to use your name saying that you had or were going to?
Absolutely not. Never did.
Did you ask your own doctor about taking the swine flu shot?
Yes, and at the time he thought it might be a good idea. But I resisted it because I was leery of having the symptoms that sometimes go with that kind of inoculation.
So you didn't?
No, I didn't.
Have you spoken to your doctor since?
Yes.
And?
He's delighted that I didn't take that shot.
You're in charge.
So Mary Tyler Moore got totally used by the government to sell their poisonous vaccine. How insane is that? She should have sued him.
Somebody's in charge.
There are...
This is your advertising strategy that I have a copy of here.
Who's it signed by?
This one is unsigned. But you'll acknowledge that it was your baby, so to speak.
It could have been from the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. It could be from CDC. I don't know. I'll be happy to take responsibility for it.
It's been 3 years now since you fell ill with GBS, right?
Right.
And that's Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS. That is that neurological disorder that they blamed on this vaccination.
Has the federal government, in your estimation, played fair with you about your claim?
No, I don't think so. It seems to be dragging on and on and on, and really no end in sight that I can see at this point.
With respect to the cases of Guillain-Barré
allegedly...
Former Secretary of HEW Joseph Califano, too, was disturbed that there was no end in sight. So a year and a half ago, he promised that Uncle Sam would cut the bureaucratic red tape for victims suffering from GBS and would pay up quickly.
We shouldn't hold them to an impossible or too difficult standard of proving that they were hurt. Even if we pay a few people a few thousand dollars that might not have deserved it, I think justice requires that we promptly pay those people who do deserve it.
And if you remember the interview that April and Burstein from Truth or Talk did with the woman who used to work in the pharmaceutical industry, she wrote a book called Confessions of an RX Drug Pusher. One of the things that she said in that book and in that interview is that it is cheaper for the pharmaceutical companies to pay out a few dollars to injuries than it is for them to put the money into proper research and development. And just very recently, and while this is playing, I'm going to see if I can find it, there was something that just came out as this brand new initiative that's going to be good for all Americans that will allow drugs to be fast-tracked because it takes too long of a time to put them through the approval process, and Americans are suffering because all these new drugs can't be on the market as quickly as possible, so we're just going to fast-track them all and see what happens.
Well, who's making the decision to be so hard-nosed about settling?
Well, I assume the Justice Department is.
Griffin Bell, before he left?
Well, the Justice Department agreed to the statement I made. It was cleared word for word with the lawyers in the Justice Department by my HEW lawyers.
And that statement said, in effect?
That statement said that we should pay Guillain-Barré claims without regard to whether the federal government was negligent if they resulted from the swine flu shot.
I think the government knows it's wrong.
If it drags out long enough, that people will just give up. Let it go.
I am a little more adamant in my thoughts than my wife is, because I asked, told Judy to take the shot. She wasn't going to take it, and she never had shots. And I'm mad with my government because they knew the facts, but they didn't release those facts because if they had released them, the people wouldn't have taken it. And they can come out tomorrow and tell me there's going to be an epidemic, and they can drop off like flies to next to me. I will not take another shot that my government tells me to take.
Ding, ding, 1976, guys. How come all these parents now are putting their children up as sacrificial lambs because freaking Johnny got measles at Disney World? I just can't even believe how quickly we forget. Who would trust the government trying to force their former bioterror program vaccines, which are now being on the defensive? I mean, this is still the same program, and we have now more powerful pharmaceutical companies that are lobbying Washington, and all of our congressmen are invested, where more than 50% of them have become millionaires. How do you think they became millionaires? I will guarantee you it's in pharmaceuticals and arms race.
Meantime, Judy Roberts and some 4,000 others like her are still waiting for their day in court.
I don't need another flu shot. I had a flu shot last year.
A swine flu epidemic may be coming.
Swine flu shot? Well, I don't know. I've been thinking about it.
It could make you very sick.
Swine flu? Man, I'm too fast for that to catch me.
You'll want to be protected.
I'm the healthiest 55-year-old you ever seen. Hey, I play golf every weekend.
Get a shot of protection. The swine flu shot.
Joe brought it home from the office. He gave it to Betty and one of his kids and to Betty's mother. But Betty's mother went back to California the next day. On her way to the airport, she gave it to a cab driver, a ticket agent, and one of the charming stewardesses. At school, Joe's kid gave it to some other kids. And Mrs. Merrill got it and gave it to her husband. In California, Betty's mother gave it to her best friend, Dottie. But Dottie had a heart condition and she died. But before she died, Dottie gave it to her girlfriend, the mailman, the paper boy, and the vet when she went to pick up her chihuahua.
If a swine flu epidemic comes, this is how it could spread. You'll want to be protected, especially if you're elderly or chronically ill. Get a shot of protection, the swine flu shot.
You know, and it's just unbelievable because while this was going on, the government knew 100% per that 60 Minutes interview that it caused neurological disorders, but they didn't care because, hey, the number was low and they were getting some free testing done. And how were you going to prove it? And had these exposés not necessarily come out, it wouldn't have been in the public eye. The propaganda jacked up and they pushed it across the board. Now, if you remember back a few years ago, we had the quote unquote swine flu outbreak again. Here I found the story. This is out of the Daily Mail. Swine flu jab link to killer nerve disease. Leaked letter reveals concerns of neurologists over 25 deaths in America. This was August 2009. I thought it was 2009. A warning that the new swine flu jab is linked to a deadly nerve disease has been sent by the government to senior neurologists in a confidential letter. So this is, again, the swine flu vaccine. They are crying foul and saying that it's causing Guillain-Barre's, or Barre's as they say it. There's an accent aigu on the end. The letter from the Health Protection Agency, the official body that oversees public health, has been leaked to the mail on Sunday, leading to demands to know why the information has not been what given to the public before the vaccination of millions of people, including children, begins. It tells the neurologists that they must be alert for an increase in a brain disorder called Guillain-Barre syndrome, or GBS for short, which could be triggered by the vaccine. GBS attacks the lining of the nerves, causing paralysis and the inability to breathe, and can be fatal. Wow, I think I'd want to see that on the insert before they start jabbing my kids. The letter sent to about 600 neurologists on July 29th, and this is of 2009, is the first sign that there is a concern at the highest level that the vaccine itself could cause serious complications. It refers to the use of a similar swine flu vaccine in the United States in 1976, when more people died from the vaccination than from swine flu. 500 cases of GBS were detected. The vaccine may have increased the risk of contracting GBS by 8 times. The vaccine was withdrawn after just 10 weeks when the link to GBS became clear and the U.S. government was forced to pay out millions of dollars to those affected. Concerns have already been raised that the new vaccine has not been sufficiently tested, ding, ding, because they fast-tracked it, said it was a state of emergency, opened the doors, and I'm telling you, the one that came out of Europe, because they said we didn't have enough vaccine, had squalene in it. And where do we see squalene before? Squalene was used in the anthrax vaccine that was given to the Gulf War vets in the first Iraq war. Many of my friends received it. Now we have all kinds of immune system and reproductive issues. Back to the story. It is being developed by pharmaceutical companies and will be given to about 13 million people during the first wave of immunization. Top priority will be given to everyone aged 6 months to 65 with an underlying health problem. Yeah, including pregnant women and health professionals. Well, those should be the people that get it, right? The ones with weakened immune systems. The British Neurological Surveillance Unit, or BNSU for short, part of the British Association of Neurologists, has been asked to monitor closely any cases of GBS as the vaccine is rolled out. One senior neurologist said last night, quote, "I would not have the swine flu jab because of the GBS risk." There are concerns that there could be a repeat of what became known as the 1976 debacle in the U.S., where a swine flu vaccine killed 25 people, more than the virus itself. A mass vaccination was given the go-ahead by President Gerald Ford because scientists believed that the swine flu strain was similar to the one responsible for, ding, ding, the 1918 to 1919 pandemic, which killed 500,000 Americans and 20 million people worldwide. Well, of course, they have to put terror and fear into your hearts to force you to get the vaccine. All right, Let's hop over now to a story that I was talking about when they fast-tracked things through the FDA. On July 9th, 2014, President Obama signed the FDA Safety and Innovation Act, which contained numerous provisions affecting drug manufacturers, including drug developers and manufacturers of regenerative medicine products. And that's all your precision medicine, RNAi, DNA switch flipping stuff. ARM. They don't tell you what ARM means. ARM supported many of the Act's provisions. Oh, ARM, the Alliance for Regenerative Medicine. Sorry. ARM supported many of the Act's provisions, and ARM members lobbied on its behalf during this year's ARM fly-in. So they must have sent all kinds of lobbyists for the Mad Science Gone Mad pharmaceutical division in there to tell Congress how many bazillions of dollars they're going to make if they ink on this fast track. Below is a summary. You have user fees, of course, so you have to pay. The bill codifies the negotiated agreement on user fees between the drug industry and the FDA. So the FDA makes money, apparently. It reauthorizes the prescription drug user fee program, allowing the FDA to continue to collect fees from industry to support the review process for human drug applications from the years 2013 through 2017. Under the Act, in exchange for fee increases, the FDA agrees to, one, meet performance goals related to timely review of drug applications, two, increase interaction with drug sponsors during the review process, three, expand interactions with patients, including those with rare diseases, and four, oh yes, evaluate its own performance, because we know what the performance would look like. In addition, the Act for the first time creates user fees to support reviews of biosimilars, which are new versions of already marketed biologics, as well as for generic drugs. Also, accelerated approval was included. The Act's changes to the FDA review and approval process for drugs that treat serious or life-threatening diseases or under states of emergency could speed the review of regenerative medicine products. Now, remember, all of these new vaccines that are coming out, we're going to take a look at the new Ebola vaccine. And lo and behold, yes, they came out with a new vaccine that they're claiming is close to 100% effective, that they've been testing on poor Africans in Liberia and countries that had outbreaks. And don't we see yesterday, oh, yes, there is a case of maybe Ebola now in Alabama, and eight people that are on the watch list as being exposed potentially. Isn't that interesting how that happens just a day after they claimed 100% efficiency? So specifically, the Act requires the FDA to facilitate the development and expedite the review of a drug designated as a quote-unquote fast-track product. These are drugs for the treatment of serious or life-threatening diseases or conditions that also demonstrate the potential to address unmet medical needs. So things such as, oh, we didn't have an Ebola vaccine. Let's fast-track it. Hey, guess what? We didn't have a malaria vaccine either. Ha, let's fast-track that one too. In addition, the Act requires, sorry, the Act enhances the existing accelerated approval process. So the Act enhances the existing accelerated approval process and creates a mechanism whereby the FDA can expedite reviews of marketing applications of drugs that treat serious or life-threatening conditions, including fast-track products, at the request of the who? The sponsor. Yes, the sponsor, the one that's paying them and lobbying Congress. Under the Act, during the accelerated approval process, the FDA can approve a product if it has an effect on a surrogate endpoint that is reasonably likely to predict clinical benefit, or a clinical endpoint that can be measured earlier than irreversible morbidity or mortality that is reasonably likely to predict an effect on the irreversible morbidity or mortality or other clinical benefits taking into account the severity or rarity of the disease or the condition and the availability of alternative treatments. Basically, what I think that's saying is we had looked at, I don't remember what the vaccine was, but little Johnny was dying of something, and he wanted this vaccination, and they wouldn't give it to Johnny. And the reason why they wouldn't give it to Johnny is because Johnny was in pretty bad shape already. And if they gave it to Johnny and Johnny died, that would be bad PR for the company, even though they definitely showed some promise for giving little Johnny this drug that maybe he would have survived. The drug company said, screw you, little Johnny, because you know what? If you kick the bucket, that's not going to look good to my shareholders. And they wouldn't give it to him. And I don't remember. We did that way back when. The FDA is required to issue draft guidance implementing this process within 1 year and a final guidance a year later. In addition, the legislation calls for an independent analysis of accelerated approval. Yes, independent analysis of the FDA, not monitoring itself, and its impact on the development of innovative treatments. See how our money's being spent. The act also requires the FDA to expedite the development and review of a drug designated as a quote-unquote breakthrough therapy. Like what? Oh, yes, all of these new nano vaccines, like the ones to cure cancer. Little self-replicating cancer nanobot vaccinations. Yes, we talked about those, and yes, those are real. To achieve this designation, a drug must be intended to treat a serious or life-threatening condition, and preliminary clinical evidence must indicate that it may demonstrate substantial improvement over existing therapies. Ding, ding. Guys, this is just opening the door to money raining from the sky for those congressional assholes that are passing this stuff with what? Oh, they have no science or technology division anymore. Remember, Carl Sagan told us that. They're just going to believe what the pharmaceutical companies tell them and not give two shits about you or me, because remember, we are disposable while they're collecting their profits from Wall Street. All right, let's pop over to now this Ebola story. Alabama man being tested for Ebola, and 8 people are in quarantine. A man from West Birmingham, Alabama, is being treated at the University of Alabama Hospital for symptoms similar to that of Ebola, officials said on Tuesday. Patient reportedly said that he had recently returned from West Africa, where the virus had killed over 11,000 people and infected over 28,000 since the beginning of the Ebola outbreak last year. Police officials were posted outside of the patient's home Tuesday to keep the family members isolated, said the local NBC affiliate WVTM 13. The Jefferson County Health Department said the doctors at the hospital were currently conducting tests on the patient to determine whether he was infected with the Ebola virus, and results of the patient's tests are expected by Wednesday. Now, what is very interesting about this is that Ebola became the new propaganda just before this mandatory nationwide fear over unvaccinated children happened, right? Bleeding out of all your orifices is pretty graphic. They didn't even have to make a commercial or use scary noises in the background to scare you into getting your vaccine. They just had to show you bleeding Africans out their mouths and eyes and then tell you that Ebola was in the homeland. Hey, and guess what? We're working on all these new vaccinations that are sitting in phase 2 trials and haven't been tested on humans yet. So step right up and get your new experimental Ebola vaccine. Back to the story. We notified the proper agencies to have this person evaluated, and they are currently under evaluation right now to find out what they have. Khan reported that he had planned to inform the CDC about a possible Ebola case in the city of Birmingham. However, he added that he did not know if any CDC officials will reach the city. Residents in this area were reportedly told by officials to stay in their homes after the man was taken to the hospital for treatment, and 6 Birmingham firefighters who responded to the call and came in contact with the man and 2 family members of the person have been put into quarantine. Now, how interesting that story came out, was that yesterday, August 5th? And I had a story here from, 6 days earlier, July 31st, 2015. Ebola vaccine trial in Guinea, so this one was in Guinea, not Liberia, suggests that it is 100% effective. How incredibly fucking amazing is being 100% effective? Today, The Lancet released the results of a large field trial of vaccines against Ebola, yes, on the poor Africans who don't know any better, and inked an agreement because they saw their friends bleeding out from some sort of pathogen that they managed to track back to the one infected tree where the Ebola bats lived, if you remember that. Yes, and it replicated itself faster than ever before seen and acted very strangely. It says back to the story, and the results were more than promising. I'd love to see the stock on this company. Within the limitations of the study, the vaccine appears to be 100% effective. The results were so good that the trial itself has now been stopped. Yes, because we don't need to try it anymore in the trials. Let's just roll it all out. We're fast-tracking it because there is no FDA in Africa. And the vaccine is now being used to control the spread of disease. I also read in another story the other day that, yes, it's been so effective, we're now going to start giving it to 13 to 17-year-olds as well. The vaccine is made by the pharmaceutical giant Merck, which licensed it from the Public Health Agency of Canada. And it was developed through what has become a fairly standard approach. A harmless virus was engineered so that it also carries the gene for Ebola's major surface protein, simply called glycoprotein. And when people receive the vaccination, a harmless infection follows, which triggers an immune response. This response targets not only the VSV virus, but the Ebola protein as well. And ideally, once the infection is eliminated, the immune system is able to recognize both VSV and Ebola. The trials performed in Southern Guinea ran through April to July 20th of this year. It used what is called the ring design. So once an infective individual was identified, the ring of potentially exposed individuals around them was identified. Wow, it sounds like this is absolutely perfect now for the 5 or 6 days later we have a case. If this guy ends up having Ebola, we have the 8 people he came in contact with already in quarantine to now be the first U.S. cases to test this new vaccination. Now, what's interesting is that we learned a while back that the former head of the CDC, Dr. Julie Gerd Birding, left the CDC in 2009 and was named president of who? Merck. Yes. Of Merck as the head of vaccinations. Dr. Julie Gerd Birding, former director of the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, was named Merck's Vaccine Division President, the company said on Monday. And this was December 21st, 2009. And what's even more interesting is when the swine flu epidemic supposedly started happening and we tried to roll this vaccine out globally, guess what year that was? Oh, it was August of 2009. How amazing is that? Gerd Birding, who led the CDC from 2002 to 2009, stepped down when Barack Obama took office. She had led the agency from one crisis to another, including the investigation into the anthrax attacks in 2001 that killed 5 people, the H5N1 avian flu, the global outbreak of SARS, and various outbreaks of food poisoning. They didn't mention the swine flu. She happened to be in the driver's seat, though, when swine flu was all the rage. She says, I am very excited to be joining Merck, where I can help expand access to vaccines around the world, she said. Gerd Berger will head up the company's $5 billion global vaccine business, including shots to prevent chickenpox, cervical cancer, and pneumonia. And as a matter of fact, speaking about chickenpox, the other day I saw an entire emergency room in Kentucky got shut down, where they were rerouting all patients to other hospitals. They wouldn't say why, but they did say that they had alerted the appropriate agencies. And then we find out that supposedly they shut down an entire emergency room because now they found out it was chickenpox. That's just messed up. And people in the comments on that story are like, oh, well, chickenpox are so dangerous. Pregnant women can get them. And oh, my God, chickenpox. That's just like the same measles argument. Who didn't freaking have chickenpox when they were a kid? And yes, you could get ancillary infections, maybe encephalitis from measles, most certainly. I don't know if you can get encephalitis, but you could get shingles from chickenpox, which is a neurological, very painful neurological disorder. But it's not necessarily going to kill you. Well, following on the heels of all this fear, we now have these rabid pro-vaccine assholes out there who are going to force it down everyone's throat. California's H.R. 1599, I think it was called, passed, where they eliminated both philosophical and religious exemptions. And now in New York, they are pushing for that exact same intervention. They want to eliminate all exemptions. Well, check this out. While this bill to eliminate exemptions is pushing through Congress, or whatever you want to call it, Senate, the committees in New York, good old Robert F. Kennedy Jr. steps up to the plate and has something to say. Kennedy brings anti-vaccine crusade to Albany. Check this out. This was June 2nd of 2015. Environmental activist Robert F. Kennedy Jr. brought his crusade to the state capitol on Tuesday, warning of the dangers of vaccines and charging that lawmakers, the pharmaceutical industry, the Federal Centers for Disease Control, and the mainstream media have engaged in a massive cover-up of health risks, he says, are associated with vaccines. Well, I guess he's a tinfoil hat-wearing asshole. I can't even believe this. I mean, why is this not on the front page of every freaking newspaper right now? This made CapitalNewYork.com's second string news back in June. Kennedy specifically denounced pending state legislation that would mandate meningitis vaccines for all New York school children. And guess what? They passed it, by the way. I got a letter right at the end of the school year saying, hey, guess what? Your kid needs to now get this meningitis vaccine that has way more side effects than the 5 meningitis cases that we ever see in New York State. But hey, it's going to be mandatory if you want to send them to homogenized state schooling. The bill, introduced in response to a rash of meningitis outbreaks among school-age children and young adults, where? In New York? I mean, I've said this before. In my 47 years in New York, I don't know anyone who's ever come down with meningitis. It's not fucking warm enough here for mosquitoes in the majority of the year. Maybe for a couple weeks. Maybe if we have rainy, warm season, but it's not like we're Key West here, okay? This is freaking around upstate New York, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, where we top the charts just about every year for snowfall. The bill, introduced in response to a rash of meningitis outbreaks among school-aged children and young adults, would require students to receive vaccinations in the 6th grade and again in the 11th. At a press conference, Kennedy accused the press of, quote, parroting orthodoxies, unquote, about vaccine safety, and accused the pharmaceutical industry of poisoning children. He argued that decisions about children's vaccinations should be left in the hands of parents or in the state health department. The CDC did not immediately respond to a request for comment. And even before Kennedy's presentation, anti-vaccine activist Michael Smith of the Autism Action Network accused the bill's sponsor, a Assemblywoman Eileen Gunther, an upstate Democrat and registered nurse, of effectively taking bribes from the pharmaceutical industry and of riding roughshod over parents' rights. And yes, taking bribes, I don't care if it's a Hawaiian freaking vacation or insider trading that's not illegal for congresspeople. Okay, they're all getting backdoor whatever to push this agenda. I bet you they're not injecting their kids with all this shit to see what's going to happen so they can bag, track, and tag your kids. And hey, a couple hundred kids, couple thousand kids fall ill. 50% of all children end up autistic by 2020. Who cares, man? Because we're all useless eaters. There's not going to be enough jobs for them anyway or enough food. Food's getting scarce, remember? Quote, you're showing a blatant disregard and arrogance for parental rights, and I think that the people of the state of New York have had it, Smith said, his voice rising from the podium as he addressed Gunther, who stood quietly within her Democratic with her Democratic colleague, Assemblyman Tom Abinanti, in the back of the room. Quote, maybe you should pass a law that bans you from taking contributions from all those industries that you're entrusted to regulate. Smith continued, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Well, I'm going to give Smith a round of applause as well. How come this isn't front page news? Another tinfoil hat wearer, apparently. As Smith grew more agitated, Abinanti whispered to an aide, get Mike to stop him. Stop him. Can we do that? Unquote. Smith's attack took up to the first 10 minutes of a press conference. Then Kennedy took the podium. Man, these people must have been like sweating in their underwear. During 40 minutes of a sometimes rambling remarks, Kennedy questioned the safety of vaccines, pointing repeatedly to a whiteboard where he scrawled notes in tiny black script about thermosol, a mercury-containing compound that was once an ingredient in vaccines. And it still is, though. Look at the box ingredients. Many of them still contain it. Quote, he says, I have said I will give $10,000 to anybody who can show me a single study that shows that thermosol is safe, he said. The CDC, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the Institute of Medicine have said repeatedly that there is no evidence to support a link between thimerosal and brain conditions, including autism. But in responsible to possible causes about its concerns about its safety, the Federal Food and Drug Administration has said, quote, thimerosal has been removed or reduced to trace amounts in all vaccines routinely recommended for children 6 years of age and younger, with the exception of inactivated influenza vaccine. Kennedy has been on a multi-state tour this year to raise his concerns about vaccines and what he claims are their potential harm to children. Arthur Kaplan, the director of the Division on the Medical Ethics at NYU Langone Medical Center, said that Kennedy is, quote, peddling 1990 science in 2015, unquote. Well, there you go. The amount of evidence to show the safety of vaccines in terms of autism and other problems is overwhelming, says Kaplan. It is really sad to see him using his celebrity to continue to peddle, yes, they call it junk science. But wait, the FDA allowing fraudulent studies to be published upside down and sideways is junk science to me. How come there is no combing of these studies to make certain that they are 100% correct and lies aren't being published and then pointed to as truth? Anyway, back to this quote. And here we go. Here they use the propaganda, like I said. This Kaplan at NYU says, it is really sad to see him using his celebrity to peddle, continuing to peddle junk science to put people at risk of real diseases like what? Measles, ding, ding, or he says, God forbid, Ebola or meningitis, where people actually die. Ding, 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 ding. Yes, measles, Ebola, or meningitis are the new propaganda buzzwords. Step right up. He took only a few questions from reporters before the press conference came to an abrupt end because another lobbying group had booked the room. Gunther had already left. Abanti, whose son has autism and who has previously sponsored legislation giving parents a greater ability to opt out of vaccines. Oh, so what a turnaround he made. I'm sure they paid him handsomely. Described Kennedy's presentation as quote unquote interesting. And then Abanti says, quote, after hearing what he had to say, it is doubtful that I will be supporting the bill. So think about that one for a few minutes. Now let's get back to this Ebola vaccine that they're now saying is 100% effective. I did a little research into it. It is the VSV-EBOV vaccine. The vesicular somatitis virus Ebola virus vaccine, known as VSV-EBOV, is an experimental vaccine for protecting against the Ebola virus disease. It was developed by scientists at the National Microbiology Laboratory in Winnipeg, Canada. And as of July 2015, clinical trials were ongoing. The VSV-EBOV is a recombinant replication-competent vaccine. It consists of a vesicular somatitis virus, which has been genetically engineered to express Ebola glycoproteins so as to provoke an immune response against the complete Ebola virus. The vaccine variant known as, and it gives all these other things, expresses glycoproteins of the Zaire Ebola virus, or the ZEBOV, the species causing the highest mortality rate among Ebola viruses. In phase one trials, side effects were mild to moderate, including fever, arthritis, and associated pain lasting a median of 8 days. Manufacturing of the vaccine for phase one trials was done by IDT Biologica. Manufacturing of the vaccine for phase three trials was done by Merck using cells from African green monkeys, which Merck already used to make its RotaTeq vaccine against the rotavirus. The Public Health Agency of Canada originally developed the vaccine and took out associated patents in 2003. From 2005 to 2009, three animal trials on the virus were published, all of them funded by the Canadian and who? The U.S. governments. Ding, ding. In 2005, a single intramuscular injection of the EBOV or the MAR vaccine were found to induce completely protective immune responses in non-human primates, including crab-eating macaws or mac monkeys, against corresponding infections. In 2010, FAC licensed the intellectual property on the vaccine to a U.S. small company called Bioprotection Systems, which is a subsidiary of New Link Genetics. And New Link has funding from who? The U.S. Defense Threat Reduction Agency to develop vaccines. New Link formed a steering committee among the interested parties, including PHAC, the National Institute of Health, and the World Health Organization to plan the clinical development of vaccines. Guys, how amazing is this? That they are funded by U.S. government divisions and the U.S. Defense Threat Reduction Agency and in cahoots with the National Institute of Health and the World Health Organization. I will guarantee you that if New Link Genetics is public, that we are going to find some members of Congress well invested in that. Says in October 2014, New Link Genetics began a phase one trial of the RVS ZBOV on healthy humans to evaluate the immune response and identify any side effects and determine the appropriate dosage. These took place in Gabon, Kenya, Germany, Switzerland, and the United States. And in March 2015, The phase two clinical trial and a phase three trial started in Guinea at the same time. Phase two trial focused on frontline health workers, while phase three trial was a ring vaccination program, and that's the one we just read about. I'm wondering if the phase two trial on frontline workers had anything to do with the Ebola military, if you guys remember, that we sent over to Guinea. Once you're in the military, you cannot refuse the vaccinations, and they make the perfect phase two guinea pigs. Well, guys, I can't even believe this, but that was a fast hour. I have much more to say about this. Good on Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I still think that he should be made front page news because that was pretty incredible. And he maybe turned some minds around, at least in New York Congress, but I guess it doesn't matter because they approved the bill for mandatory meningitis vaccination anyway. All right, guys. Well, we are about at the end of the show. Tomorrow we'll continue on this. Just remember that the head of Merck's pharmaceutical division used to be the head of the CDC. She just recently sold 38,368 shares of her Merck stock for $2.3 million. She still holds another 31,985 shares. And if Merck and this, what are they, what was their name? New Link Genetics stocks go through the roof, she's going to be a bazillionaire. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. It is Wednesday, so Miss Lonnie Clark is up next with the Age of Fission. And then we have live Josh at 6 p.m. Eastern with Anti-Tyranny News. The Boys from New York continue a condition at 8. Truth or Talk this week, 100th episode, live at 9 p.m. Eastern. And Anti-Media Radio with Mr. Nick Burnaby and D.B. Schwartz at 11. All right, guys, everyone have an awesome Wednesday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow.